7BR Part Heard.
Hello and welcome to 7BR's Part Heard, the podcast that traverses the legal landscape, examining issues across multiple practice areas, guided by the diverse expertise of our members. Today I'm joined by 7BR's newest tenants, Joshua Yetman and David Earl, who've been taken on as of today after the successful completion of their pupillage. We'll discuss their experience of pupillage during a pandemic, their advice for those starting out, and how they'd like to build their practice in the future. Joshua and David, welcome to the podcast. Perhaps we could begin with you giving us a bit of background about yourselves, what drew you to the bar, what you did before this. I think that'd be quite helpful.
Looks like I'll go first. I came to the bar a little bit later in life. I started out studying English and Spanish at university, and I only became interested in the bar after doing jury service. One time I just was captivated by the work that was going on by the barristers, and I just thought that looked like a fantastic job. At the time I was working for an international NGO in the HR department, so I had some interest in employment law, but that the jury service experience just tipped me into looking into what it took to become a barrister. And I studied the GDL part-time, then went on to do the BPTC. I didn't get pupillage the first time around, but I ended up getting some experience as a county court advocate, just going around and doing sort of tended to be quite short hearings in the county court and small claims track hearings. And that gave me a little bit of experience and something to talk about in pupillage interviews. And then I was fortunate enough to get selected for 7 Bedford Row and started this time last year.
And now you're a tenant.
Well, yes, so I understand.
Yeah. Good news. And Josh, how about you? What's your background?
Yeah, so I also started my legal studies slightly later as well. So it's my undergrad at 22, but I did the LLB, so the 3-year law degree. Then I went off to do a master's, and I did that because I'd been told it was a good idea to get a bit more breadth of knowledge. And it just gave me a bit more time to figure out exactly where it was I wanted to go. You know, I was lucky to be able to do it. And then after that, obviously, onto the bar course. David and I actually attended the same bar school, BPP, same year. After that, I then went on to work at the Free Representation Unit, so Free, which I'm sure a lot of people maybe listening will know about. And I ended up working there for about a year and a half. I was first in Social Security, supervising volunteers and taking on my own cases, and then I shifted over to the employment side. So that was my sort of particular practical experience in terms of taking my own cases and supervising the people there. In terms of why did I come to the bar, I'd be lying if I said it was something I always wanted to do since the age of five. I think it's probably the first suggestion for a law degree for me was actually my college tutor. My history, she teaches me late modern history and sort of thinking about a general degree, and she suggested it, and I thought, well, that sounds like a good idea as a backup, and then that was that, and it sort of gained momentum from there. But having started my degree, I think I thought, well, if I'm going to make a career of this, the bar is where I'm interested in.
And what drew you both to 7BR in particular?
I think it was the breadth of work that Chambers done. I know that people on this podcast before have talked about the sort of the Chambers mix of civil work, criminal work, family work, employment law and everything else in between. And when I was looking into pupillage, I didn't see anywhere else that had that kind of variety, and I was really attracted by that.
No, similarly, I think some people want to do just one area of law when they're, you know, either from the time of study or since. I obviously got quite a lot of employment experience at Frew. Now, we do a fair amount of it. That helped. But I was also aware that I did want a bit of variety. I think variety helps. And as David mentions, we're one of the best mixed sets. And I think also for a skill set, doing crime now, I think it will carve out your skills as an advocate that, you know, latterly, if you want to develop a civil practice in particular, those skills are all transferable. And I think certainly there's a lot of value at this stage to doing a bit of everything. And I have to say, certainly in the current climate, commercially speaking, I'd much rather be a set with a more diverse portfolio than a one-dimensional one, because obviously if times are hard, you can rebalance within Chambers. So I think that's something that's valuable.
And has your pupillage experience lived up to expectations?
On balance, I couldn't recommend to anyone that they do their pupillage during a major global pandemic. I think you gear yourself up doing any pupillage to your second six. You're kind of counting down the days, and we were counting down the days to the 1st of April. We'd seen those first briefs go into our diary, and then they sort of fell out, and we spent a couple of moments, with a couple of months without our own work. But it's picked up towards, I'd say, the last 3 months. We've been having pretty much the same experience that people's in the past, going around doing multiple hearings every week in those three major different disciplines, civil, criminal and family.
No, definitely. I'd echo that. And I mean, I think no one knows what's going to happen with the current state of the pandemic, but I would have thought that we've had the most unique and possibly the worst of it in terms of the dearth of work in that first portion, because I think the general consensus is even if there is a more stringent lockdown coming, and even if that's next year, you know, the courts, one would hope, are more geared up to dealing with these things remotely. I mean, there was a bit of a pause while every jurisdiction sort of sorted itself out, so to speak, some better than others. But so, yeah, I think all I'd say is what I think our experience in relation to that was particularly unique. But that being said, I think it is right that Chambers were very, very good very early on at reassuring us as to where things were going and how things wouldn't go during that particularly quiet period. They put on additional assessments and they were very supportive. So I think actually whilst I would hope to think, I'd like to think that future peoples don't go through a similar thing, it was actually a time where Chambers were great in dealing with it. And I have to say, without naming names, more supportive than other chambers I'm aware of.
We can talk about those assessments actually in a bit, because I think that would be quite helpful. But are there any particular highlights of the last 12 months? Any particular cases that you worked on? Work that you didn't think you'd enjoy that you did?
Well, working backwards, I mean, I think that certainly, you know, coming here, you accept you're going to do a bit of crime, a bit of family, a bit of civil. I have enjoyed the crime, actually, and it's not something that historically I would necessarily focused on. But, you know, in the mags and even the Crown Court work, it's, you know, obviously there's more of it to come, but that's been good. In terms of anything particularly memorable, I was quite lucky with my first supervisor, William. I got the opportunity to work with him on the ICSA inquiry, which was pretty early on and pretty high profile. And for me, I found that very interesting in terms of the issues it was raising and seeing lots of advocacy, you know, a stock of silks from across the board. So, yeah, I suppose that sticks out for me as a particularly interesting moment.
Yes, I think I had a bit of civil experience previously, so I think what I've really enjoyed is the criminal work we've got to do. I don't think Chambers would ordinarily have gone and got out sort of magistrates' court lists for us, but we decided it was something to do to get us some sort of a lot of experience very quickly. And Josh and I now have been doing quite a few of those lists where you go in and you prosecute multiple trials in a day and you're never quite sure what the defendant's going to say, and it's just, it moves so quickly and it really tests all your skills. So I think, yeah, that's what's been the highlight for me, I think.
And speaking of being tested, thank you, lovely segue. What were the internal assessments like? You mentioned that you had additional ones, I guess.
Yeah.
What can incoming pupils expect usually, and what were the extra things that you did?
So Chambers has a combination of assessed and unassessed advocacy exercises throughout the year. In terms of the assessed, it's two written exercises which are marked by different members of Chambers, and then I think it's about 6 to 8, isn't it, David, oral
yes
assessments, but I'm not sure if that will fluctuate year on year, but that's the rough guideline. And obviously they will then be assessed in the sense they're marked and they go towards your decision. There are also within that, there should be one or two unassessed exercises earlier on in the year to sort of guide you into the process a bit and settle you in. But of course we had additional corona based assessments on top of that because they wanted to keep us busy when we weren't doing our actual work. But I mean, I think, again, our experience of it's probably different in that I would have thought, all being well, next year and you know, there'll be more in-person assessments in terms of how it's run. And this is still talking about the ones that should have happened outside of the additional ones, but obviously all of them, bar our first oral assessed advocacy exercise, were remote.
Right.
So that's quite an adjustment and getting used to the technology early on. But again, actually, it was useful because real court work followed that was remote, and we got to get all of our sort of more basic mistakes out of the way early on. And then just to say, I'm assuming that they won't continue the additional ones next year, but I don't know that. But we then obviously had a few bolted on due to corona, which was particularly useful. Similar setup, but just a slightly, you know, greater variety in terms of what the hearing was.
Do you have any advice then for incoming pupils or prospective pupils, people applying maybe this year?
I'd say two things. I'd say firstly, go and meet as many members other than your supervisor as possible and time with them and see their work. That was something that I think I needed a little bit of a nudge to do, and that happened after lockdown when we were encouraged to go and see more members' work. And I just found the the experience of seeing different kinds of work and different approaches to work. Really, really interesting. And the other thing I'd say is come and speak to us, or if you are not at this chambers, go and speak to the very junior tenants, because they've been through it so recently, and there's nothing, no question that's going to sound too naive or be something we never thought of asking for ourselves. So have no hesitation in approaching the junior members, I'd say.
No, definitely. And everyone, as David said, everyone's hugely approachable here. But I think in terms of prospective applicants, particularly at the paper stage and taking it bit by bit, Chambers is really a great place to be because it's full of character. And I am obviously biased, but as I'm sure those listening are aware, they've done experience elsewhere, we all did the same. This is a great place to be in terms of the characters and personalities. And I say that because I think for the purposes of the written application, you know, sharing a bit of personality and I'm sure you've all been told a number of times, stand out, and that must get frustrating to hear. But there are lots of good people out there, but I think at that stage, it really is about trying to show as much character as possible, because that's what we're looking for. I think it's fair to say.
Great. And looking forward then to a long and prosperous career as tenants at 7BR, how would you like your practice to develop?
Well, I think it's been said on this podcast many times, for the first few years, you're expected to do chambers mix, and I'm very happy doing that. That's what I signed up for. I'd perhaps like to see a bit of an employment practice develop, but I'm certainly very happy doing the civil, criminal and family stuff that we do.
Likewise, not to be repetitive, but yeah, obviously accept that it's going to be a mix, and I'm happy with that. I think David and I are quite similar in that employment has been, or certainly an area that I've spent time in, and be interested to see as that grows, going with chambers in that direction. But also, you know, the general civil focus, I think long-term is something I'd be interested in as well. Who knows? Could be, once I start the Crown Court trials, it will be all about crime. I don't know.
Great. Well, Josh and David, thank you for joining me, and congrats again.
Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of 7BR's Part Heard. For more information and to listen to our previous episodes, please visit our website.